The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in Clonmel. We have jumping to look forward to there, seven races on their card. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Mark. Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Good, man. What'd you make of today?
There's a few nice horses running today. It's not all total, doom and gloom, but... we are thin on the ground with quality. The 355 is probably the best race in the card, which is pretty much how it's been in Ireland for the last few days, to be honest. The novice chases seem to be bringing together quite a few decent animals, and we've got three well above average horses running in the mare's chase there. The rest of the card is what it is. Clonmel, the likes of Tramore, Cork, Clonmel, all in that region, tend to deal with lower bargain basement stuff, and it certainly hasn't let us down on that front.
Okay. The 355 is a good race. There's a few nice horses along the way, as you mentioned, so we'll get stuck into the action. Starting in the 125, and we begin here with a mare's maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles, and the betting is headed by Louise Royale, who's 4-5 this morning and just been nibbled from even money. Moliana is 4-1, 5-1 for Oscar Invitation. Allé Gold is 9-1, 12-1 for Lis Urian, and 14s for Mystic Glass, and 16s are bigger for the others. Louise Royale heads the betting, Andy. You can see why if you just look at the form of that Tipperary effort when she finished second behind Morning Run. No real match for the winner, but well clear of the rest. And if she reproduces that here, does she win?
Yeah, she should do, shouldn't she, really? She looks the best mare stroke filly on offer here in the first race. One or two other horses have got decent bits of form, but nothing to touch at Thomas Cooper's filly, who, as you said, chased down the very promising and potentially high-class Morning Run on her sixth start out of her hurdles. I like the way she went through that race. I think I was in the studio that day and I caught the race off camera, as it were, and I thought, God, this Morning Run's going to get turned over here. I thought this Louise Royale was going equally as well, turning into the home straight. And although she couldn't quite match the winner in the latter stages, she certainly made the favourite at least, keep up to her work. Don't forget Morning Run had gone into that race off the back of three successive wins at Punchestown, Down Royal and Wexford, and she's very much expected to make into a very smart hurdler this season, with perhaps races such as the Mayor's Race at the Cheltenham Festival being on the horizon. So, she was in deep there, so to speak, and the run before that wasn't too shabby either. She chased down a horse of Aidan O'Brien's called Waver, who's been mixing it to good effect lately over hurdles and on the flat. So, those two runs set her apart from the rest of the field. She's obviously fit and well. Quite a few of these that have got chances are coming back off the long layoffs, including Moliana. She's the other one with probably, you could argue, decent enough form to win a race of this level. Third behind Carrick Mourner Rock and Hellcat Maggie would represent a decent standard of form. And, of course, that came at this track as well over the course and distance. Robert Tyner's mare, the winner, Carrick Mourner Rock, is quite highly regarded. And Hellcat Maggie's won 3 times throughout the summer jumping period, so she looks the main danger. But I have to go with this Louise Royale. Obviously, taking a little bit of a punt at a short price that she stays the trip and she handles softer ground, but providing she does, then she should justify a position in the market.
Okay, Louise Royale then in the opener. The 155 is the second race on the card, and this is a maiden hurdle over the extended 2 miles, and Sir Abbott heads the betting at 2-7. It's 8-1 for Master Appeal. King Bobo is 10-1 from 14s. Arthropod is 12-1, 16-1 for I Knew Well. Double Dan 20s with Labandari, and 33-1 or bigger prices for the others. Heavily odds on favourite here, the JP McManus horse trained by Robert Tyner, Andy, and has some useful bumper form and won a points point as well. 2-7 though, what do you make of the favourite here?
Yeah, he's been a bit disappointing for me. In many respects. I know he's won two races in his life, one of them a point-to-point, but I just didn't really take to him that warmly last time at Killarney for one reason or another. I actually fancied him that day and thought that Ballinrobe win would set him up for a nice career over hurdles, but he just didn't shine. Whether he just wasn't quite right, or whether the yielding to soft ground was just a bit too deep for him that day, I don't really know. But he's by far and away the best horse in this race, and he should win. Albeit, I think 2-7 and 1-4 is really for the needy and greedy. I mean, for that run at Leopardstown really set him up as being a potentially nice horse when he was third behind Quick Big Vic and Stuckador. You know, that was a decent race that day, and the way that he ran in shape suggested that you know, it wouldn't be too long before he got off the mark, which he did at Ballinrobe the next time very easily, as his odds suggested. I think going forward he's got to improve to be mixing it with the sort of Saturday horses. But, I mean, let's face it, Robert Tyner couldn't have found an easier race here. So despite his slight, you know, question mark run last time out of Killarney, he should still be good enough here. He's got a touch of quality. The rest haven't. And, yeah, he'd probably go into quite a few short price doubles and trebles today.
OK. Do you have one to take him on the each-way betting, or without the favourite or something like that?
Yeah, I'd probably look at Anthropod, Dennis Leahy's five-year-old. He's been running OK in bumpers. And, you know, he comes from the point-to-point field as well, so he's obviously, you know, bred to sort of jump and stay. So he's shown enough in those two races so far, Tipperary and Killarney, to suggest he might be OK or might be good enough to finish in the frame. So maybe he's one for the each-way merchants.
OK.
Or without the favourite merchants.
Yeah. Or the place merchants, or any other kind of merchant.
Yeah, one of those three.
The 2.25 is the third race on the card, and this is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles, and the betting is headed by Memories of Milan this morning, who is 100-30. 4-1 for Perry Hill, Shantou Flyer is 5s, 6-1 for Woodbrays, Tulsa Jack is 7-1, 15-2 for Forever Gold, and then 8-1 or bigger prices for the others. Memories of Milan, and he arrives here in pretty good form, won his last two outings. And one of them was a pretty decent effort as well when beating Buster Dandan, who's won since. So that form looks pretty good. I suppose the only question mark is the ground. So what do you make of this race?
Yeah, he's won on soft ground here before, so that wouldn't necessarily be an issue. And he's quite a durable type as well. John Curley's an 8-year-old. He's run on a variety of grounds throughout his career. He clearly is in fine heart. And David Russell rode him last time out when he won at Listowel. As you quite rightly pointed out, he did my homework for me, beat Buster Dandan. Last time out in a decent time as well. His speed figure has been quite good. Like I say, he's won at the track, which is no problem. He stays well. Not really many sort of negatives I could find in his profile. The only negative would be that he's up to 122. And he does face one or two interesting horses against him here. One of them looks a decent each-way bet from where I'm sitting. I'm going to put him up each way because I just think he's short of finishing in the frame, and that's the way I like to play these eight-runner races. And that's Perry Hill. From the Dooley stable, 7-year-old by Perugino, who is yet to win a race in 13, but he's been second on his last three of his last four starts. His only bad run came at Kilbeggan when they tried the first time blinkers on him, and he never ran a race that day. I just think he hated the headgear. But since he's had the cheek pieces on at Clonmel and at Tremor, he's looked okay. And I think he was a bit unlucky the last day because it was a really ragged start. It was one of those ones where I'm sure one or two of the jockeys didn't realise the tapes had gone up because they're coming for about the second or third time, and John Killam got left with his pants around his ankles, to be honest. He must have lost at least 10 to 15 lengths on this Perry Hill. Although they went quite slow in the early stages and he was able to catch up the ground, it still was a decent effort to get within four lengths of the winner at the end, who's in good form, the Balbecki, and of course had previously won at the track. So with that in mind, and a good run the time before here over this course and distance behind the inform at the time, Fenis Moll, I think Perry Hill is almost sure to go well here. Brian Kick Cooper takes over from John Cullen as well. No disrespect to John, but he'd be one of the elder statesmen in the weighing room, whereas obviously Brian Cooper has a much fresher mind. And you can sort of get 4-5-1 for this horse this morning. So I think Perry Hill each way has to be the bet there.
Okay, each way selection in the 2.25. The 2.55 is race 4 on the card, and this is a qualified riders handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles. It's for 4-year-olds and older that are rated 80-95, and Marmalade Skies and Duty Dance are the 9-2 joint favourites this morning. Hardbought is 7-1 with Mountain Lock, 8-1 for Grainy Town and Salacious Sally, 10-1 for Diamond Dame, 14s or bigger for the others. Not always the easiest to work out these, Andy, and not too many of them coming into this in winning form. So what are your thoughts on the 2.55?
Yeah, similar to a race yesterday at Punchestown, I'll probably nominate the ones I think you should be putting on your shortlist rather than getting heavily involved in this race. and almost leave it for the punters to make their own mind about the three I'm going to nominate. I think Marmalade Skies has to be one of them. He was quite badly hampered the day when a horse unfortunately fell in front of the stands, or the one in front of the stands, and had to be destroyed. And Marmalade Skies was one of the ones that had to do a bit of a body swerve, and he almost ran off the track, actually. I'm not sure how much ground he lost. It certainly didn't cost him victory, but he did lose three or four lengths in his position at the time, and around that sharp track, that couldn't be afforded. So he did quite well to finish fifth behind Linda's Choice. Again, it was just another OK run. He's a point-to-point winner, although he hasn't actually won under rules yet, which is slightly disconcerting. But he should go well. And I'd like to mention a couple as well at better prices, because they've run well at this track before. One of them is a course and distance winner, and that's John Walsh's seven-year-old Hard Bought, who managed to win here last year when the ground was on the soft side. He came into that off the back of a disappointing run. So he's a kind of horse that wins from left field. OK, he didn't follow that up in his next two starts, but coming back to Clonmel under his right conditions, I think he might surprise one or two. And another one at much bigger price, 14-1 poke, is Rock On Brian. Again, another horse has got course form. That was when he was second behind Mayor Quest back in June. And he didn't run too badly the day in that race at Tammy's Hill. Was an absolute handicap certainty down in Cork. He only got beat 16 lengths, but that run, along with the other one that Tipperary unfortunately refused to race, don't know what was on him that day, might have just blown the cobwebs away. So he's an interesting one at a price. So those are my three that I would put in if I was place potting. Of them, I think probably Hard Bought around about 7-1, because he's the only course and distance winner in the field, would be my number one choice.
Okay, a few options there then in the 255. The 325 is the fifth race on the card, and this is a rated chase for four-year-olds and older that at entry are rated 123 or less. It's over 2.5 miles, and the betting is headed by Two Scoops, who's 7-4. It's 2-1 for Fever Pitch. Kandinsky is 11-4, and 8-1 for Ros Bryn. Some fairly nice horses in here, Andy. And you could really state a case for all four of them. I suppose Two Scoops at the top of the betting is interesting, but had a very bad time of things last year. So what do you make of this race?
Yeah, he's the one that kind of cast a slight shadow of doubt over punting one of the other three, because you know that if Henry de Bromhead has got him back right and gets to the bottom of him again, he could easily make a mockery of this kind of race and the rating band, of course, it covers, because in his pomp, Two Scoops, he was a very, very useful hurdler, as we know. He's rated in the high 130s at in his sort of heyday. And he is a listed hurdler winner as well. None of these can hold that kind of record against the name. So it's such a disappointment that in his three starts over fences so far, he hasn't really cut much ice, and he's fallen and not really shown that he's anything like the kind of horse he was. It might have just dented his confidence as well, because his last three hurdle runs have all been of a poor standard. So he's had a bit of a break, and with the de Bromhead horses running well, and of course Johnny Burke on board, he's one not to totally disregard. And amazingly, the bookmakers obviously took caution and made him favourite. But as you said, the other three are all in useful form, and they've all got form around this track as well. Fever Pitch is 1-1. Kandinsky is also 1-1. And Ros Bryn also, she absolutely adores this track as well. So Two Scoops is certainly going to have to be on his mettle if he wins. Of the other three, the rather mercurial Kandinsky would be the one I'd go for here. On his day, this horse is a very, very decent animal. He must have literally gave Robert Tynan many, many sleepless nights before he finally got off the mark. And that was here over this track. Of course, Robert Tynan trains close to this venue, being a County Cork handler. And he managed to win here back in March. It was a race where it was kind of like disintegrated by fallers, but he just looked a happy horse when he was able to bowl along in front and do his own thing, and I think that's the way to ride this horse. So a small field today will definitely suit him. He subsequently got taken on for the front-running role on his next two starts, and one of them came over hurdle. So I kind of forgive him those last two runs, but I'd imagine that Philip Enright will get the instructions here off his trainer to really go and make this horse his mind up for him, get him out in front, get him bowling along. We know that suited him here the last day when he came here, and he might just get one or two of these at it. So Kandinsky, albeit he comes with his quirks and he's not one to have absolute maximum trust in, I just think today could well be his day.
Okay. On to the 355 next, and this is race 6 on the card, and this is a mare's beginner's chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and an interesting one at that. Urticare is the 11-8 market leader this morning, 13-8 for Jenny's Jewel. Our Kitty is 9-2, 10s for Indian Fairy, 33-1 for Cheyenne Girl, and Vic Chic is also 33s. As you mentioned at the top of this piece, Andy, three above average performers here going over fences, an interesting race. So what are your thoughts in the 355?
Yeah, this is the best race on the card. I'm really looking forward to this one, actually, to see how Utecare takes the larger obstacles. Indeed, how Jenny's Jewel and our Katie perform as well, because these all are of a useful standard over the smaller obstacles. Jenny's Jewel would be the highest rated of these up to now. She's been down in at the very top table for the last 2 or 3 years. You know, you've only got to go back to Punchestown last year, and she chased down Annie Power in the Grade 1. She was a bit disappointing there for me, first time out behind Little King Robin when she looked a little bit one-paced. And that's the problem with Jenny's Jewel sometimes. I think she's the kind of horse that likes a very, very strongly run race against the best horses, but sometimes you dip her into weaker waters and she probably like fluffs her lines and misses an open goal. She's not overly big either, of what I've seen her on TV as well. So she might well be vulnerable first time out of fences. I think she's a poor value price here, whereas I think Utecare's a more, if you like, robust and more ready-made chasing model. And, of course, obviously, you know, being trained by Willie Mullins and a mare with a bit of scope, I think she might well be the one to be with today. Her form last year was of a very decent standard. Of course, she also took in Grade 1 company as well behind Stabber Companion Adriana DeMott at the Fairy House Festival, albeit that was a weak Grade 1. And, you know, she rather looked as though she'd just slightly gone over the top on her last run last season. But again, she was against horses like Vicky Loasis and Little King Robin. So she also, like Jenny's Jewel, has been plying her trade against the very best. Our Katie would definitely be one that would certainly take advantage if the front two in the market were to come unstuck, because this horse has got plenty of point-to-point form. And that third behind Lots of Memories in their version of the EBF final would be a very good race on paper as well, or good run on paper. So this is a mouth-watering affair. The way I'd play this race, funny enough, would be to leave Jenny's Jewel out of the equation. I'd probably have, like, if I was staking 10 points, I'd have an 8 points win on Utecare, and I'd have a 2 point win on Arcady just to save on.
Okay, so Utecare the main selection, our Katie a saver there then. Yep, we'll just tidy that up, yeah.
And the
425 is the seventh race on the card, and we finish with a handicap chase over 3 miles, and Embracing Change and Taylor's Hill are both 4-1 joint favourites this morning, 8-1 for Western Promise, Take a Shot, and Banana Flambe is another one at 8-1, 10-1 for Doc Hollywood, All or Now and Fenice Mall, and then Ander Barter, and then 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. An open finish to the card, Andy. Who do you like in the lucky last?
Yeah, you must have had a banana flambe sometime in your life, Mark.
No, it's I'm not fancy enough to have flambes. Anything with a French inflection.
Not even a banoffee pie.
I've had a banoffee pie before.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, not totally ruining out banana.
Yeah, I'm not completely averse to bananas. Yeah,
no, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's try and work this one out anyway. Hopefully, there won't be any banana skins in the last. But I think Embracing Change could go well here. He's a horse that was well fancied last time out in that race at Prosperity Square. Finally. Managed to win in. I thought Robert Tynes Charge should have won that day as well. He was well backed. He had the blinkers on first time, and I think Connections were slightly disappointed he didn't win that day. And I think he would have won bar from a slightly slow, hesitant jump at the fourth last. Hasn't been picked up in the racing comments, but Prosperity Square got away from the fence quite quickly and Embracing Change didn't. And as there was only half a length between them at the line, I think that mistake cost him the race. He had many of these rivals today, Take Him On Again in behind, Take a Shot of Bar to Doc Hollywood, Kelleco, Kim, etc., etc. There's no real reason why they should turn the form around. He's got a fitness advantage over the other main danger, Taylor's Hill. Of course, it was hugely impressive when he signed off last year, but that was back in May, so, you know, the lack of a run might just count on him. So I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to hope the blinkers work again for Embracing Change and hope that he does frank the form with all those ones in behind at Punchestown.
Okay, good work. Thank you very much, Andy. Let's have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
No problem. Okay, hopefully the favourite will get the favourite backers off to a good start in the 125. 155, again, another short one. Sir Abbott should be taking care of that particular field today. Perry Hill looks like a decent each-way proposition in the 225. I'm sure he'll go well again. 255, a difficult handicap hurdle to contend with. I've mentioned three on the podcast. The main one would be the top one, Hard Bought. Kandinsky in the 325. Hopefully he gets a chance to bowl along in front, because that's, I think, where he's at his most dangerous. 355, Utacare, certainly one of the classier horses on show, if not the classiest today. And if she takes the fences, then hopefully she should be good enough first time up. And then the final race, Robert Tyner's always got a good record here at one of his local tracks, and he could sign off the day in the best possible fashion with Embracing Change.
OK, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck with those selections, and enjoy Clonmel this afternoon.
Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.